This is a very special Sunday in the Christian calendar, because this is the Sunday on which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross, a terrible death. And they took his body and they laid it in a tomb. And we read that they rolled a heavy stone over that tomb. And then 3 days later, some of his followers went to that tomb. And they were worried, who's going to roll the stone back for us? And we read in the scriptures, in the Bible, that when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. And they went in expecting to find a dead body. And this is what we read. It says there, a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed, and he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. And so 3 days after his death, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This morning my task is a very simple one. I'm not going to be very long, but I do want to speak on this subject that we have advertised. Why did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Why is it that this remarkable event, this miracle happened? What is its meaning? And I just want to very briefly say four things I want to explain why Jesus rose from the dead. Do please give me your attention. I won't be very long, but I promise you what I say will be very relevant to you. The first reason why Jesus Christ rose from the dead was to prove that there is such a thing as life after death. He rose again from the dead to prove that there is such a thing as life after death. I'm very conscious that we live in a world today where there's an enormous amount of confusion as to what happens after death. And as you can imagine, as a pastor, I do spend quite a lot of my time visiting those who are on their sick bed, in hospital or at their home, and talking to them. And frequently you get asked the question, well, what does happen after death? And I'm very conscious that many, many in our country believe that this life is all that there is. There's nothing beyond this life. We are born, we live, we die, and we cease to exist, and that is it, nothing more. Well, I want to tell you that is not true. I want to tell you that actually there is such a thing as life after death. We were not created to simply cease to exist when we die. We were created to live eternally. We are human beings, and human beings were created by God, and God created us to live forever. We will not cease to exist. There is such a thing as life after death. If we had been living in Europe a few hundred years ago, we would have, particularly if you were in the west of England, we would have been looking out into the west, and we would be saying, well, I wonder what is there. And not Clevedon, because of course Clevedon you see Wales. But if you were further south into Cornwall and you were looking out west, we would be saying, I wonder what is there. I wonder if there's anything there. Because, of course, nobody from Europe had actually sailed going west to find out what is there. And you know the story that in 1492-93, a man called Christopher Columbus set out from Spain and he sailed west. And he found lands there. He found what we today call the Caribbean, the West Indies. And he found America. And he came back with produce from there. And he said, there is something there. So once a person has gone there and come back from there, he can then say, there is such a thing as land out there. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ died. But the Lord Jesus Christ came back alive. And the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense was saying, there is life after death. So that is the first reason why Jesus rose from the dead. It is to prove that there is such a thing as life after death. I encourage you to think about this. It's a serious matter. I encourage you to give it much thought. And if you'd like to talk more about it, if you'd like literature on it, please come and see me afterwards. We have literature that I can give you that might help you. And I'm very happy to talk with you more on this topic. The second reason why Jesus rose from the dead was to prove that there is such a place called heaven. He rose again from the dead to prove that there is such a place called heaven. Now, it's all very well to say, well, there's life after death. But what is that life like? And we use the word heaven. It's quite a commonly used word in the English language. And we use the word heaven to mean something that's wonderful. You know, something that's full of joy and full of happiness. And so we say, oh, I went to watch Liverpool playing a football match. I went to Madrid to watch Arsenal play a football match. And it was heaven. Because Arsenal won the game, and Arsenal won the quarterfinal. Forgive me if you're not a football fan. I'm a football fan, and I look into these things. And I can imagine the Arsenal fans who went to Madrid, and they watched their team actually beat Madrid in Madrid. And they must be saying, well, this is exactly what heaven is like, you see. Well, of course it isn't. But this is sort of the point I'm trying to make, that heaven we use in the English language to mean a place that's full of joy, a place that's full of happiness. You just feel, I've come out of my normal life, my normal existence, and I've come into a time where everything is just absolutely wonderful. And of course the word heaven comes from the Bible. But in the Bible the word heaven doesn't mean a few minutes of sheer joy and happiness and then you return to your mundane life. That's not how the Bible uses the word heaven. That's how we use it in common English today. But the Bible says there is a place called heaven. And the Bible says there are people who go to that place called heaven. And the Bible says there is a place called hell. And there are people who go to hell. Now I know that these things are not popular in speech and so on. And I know that people don't like to hear about these things. But these are biblical truths. These are truths that are there in the Bible. And they really are true. And when the Bible speaks about heaven, the Bible speaks about a place where there is absolute joy. An absolute happiness. And it's not a place of temporary joy. It's not a place where people find happiness for a few minutes because they've gone away from London to Madrid and watched a football match and for 90 minutes they've had a wonderful time, but then they have to return to London and to their mundane lives and mundane jobs and heaven, as it were, has now passed until the semi-finals come. That's not how it is. Heaven is an eternal place. We never cease to exist. And heaven is a place of eternal joy, of eternal happiness. Actually, it is called a place of love because God is there and the Lord Jesus Christ is there and God's heart is filled with love and God loves his people who are in heaven with him and Christ loves his people who are with him and they love each other and love always brings joy to the heart. Love never brings misery. Have you noticed that? Some of you may remember, it must be some years ago now, but you remember when you fell in love and you met this person and you fell in love with that person and the sheer joy of it. I remember when I first met my wife and I fell in love with her. It was almost like I was walking on air and for weeks my friend would laugh at me. Because they said, what's happened to you? Well, they knew what had happened to me. My heart was filled with joy. I'd found somebody I loved. And I found somebody who loved me. And love is like that. Love just brings joy. But imagine that love is perfect love. Imagine that love is eternal love. It never ends. Imagine that love never deteriorates. It never declines. It never spoils. But it's always perfect eternal love. That is heaven. Heaven is a place of perfect peace, perfect joy. It does exist. It isn't a pipe dream. It does exist. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove that there is such a place because he went there. If the place didn't exist, where did he go? Well, it tells us he went there. And because he went there, it shows it does exist. So why did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, he rose from the dead to show or to prove there is life after death. He rose again from the dead to prove that there is a place called heaven. And then thirdly, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove that he is the only way for us to enter heaven. He is the only way for us to enter heaven. I'm very conscious that this is a very controversial point. And I'm very conscious that we live in a country where people say that if heaven exists at all, it is rather like a mountaintop and there are all sorts of different routes to it and all kinds of people who believe all kinds of things. Well, as long as they are sincere in what they believe and as long as they live decent moral lives, they're all on their paths, each one on their own different paths, and eventually every person will make their own way to the top of that mountain. Every person will follow their own path and make their way to heaven. I'm conscious that that is what a lot of people believe today. And I want to tell you, yes, it sounds very attractive. Yes, it sounds very appealing. It may even sound like it is the truth. It is not the truth. The truth is, there's only one way, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he alone came from heaven to take us to heaven. And he died on that cross 3 days before his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ died. Now, why did Jesus Christ die? If you know anything at all about Jesus Christ, you know that he was a good man. Nobody has ever said anything bad about him. There were false charges brought against him, but they were clearly false charges. He was a good man. And yet he died. He died a terrible death. Why did he die? Well, the Bible explains to us why he died. And the Bible says he died as a penalty for our sins. As a penalty so that we might be forgiven. Imagine a situation where a person commits a very, very serious crime and is taken to court and he's tried fairly and is found guilty and the judge says, you know, this was a very, very serious crime. I have to send you to prison for decades because of the seriousness of your crime. Now, I do know that in the courts, usually, this would not happen. But let us imagine for a minute that a friend of his stood up. And the friend said, look, I will serve that prison sentence. Not denying that he deserves that prison sentence. Not denying that he's a criminal. Yes, he is a criminal. He deserves that prison sentence. I will serve it in his place. I will suffer for decades in prison in his place. And imagine the judge says, fine, as long as somebody suffers, justice is satisfied. The law is satisfied. So the friend goes to prison and the friend serves the prison sentence for decades in the place of this other man. Imagine that were to happen. Well, that in a sense explains why Jesus died. We are sinners before God. We have broken God's law. We have done that which is wrong in the sight of God. We have offended God. And the law of God demands that there must be punishment. There must be a penalty for the fact that we've broken the law of God. And so we should be punished. And the punishment is death. And Jesus died in our place, a substitute. He, in a sense, stands up and says to God the Father, yes, they are guilty, and yes, they should be punished, but I will take the punishment upon myself. And as he was hanged upon a cross, the penalty of his people, or the sins of his people, were laid upon him, and he paid the penalty in their place. Christ died in the place of those who had sinned, who had offended God, who had broken God's law. And in raising him from the dead, when the Father raised the Son from the dead, the Father was saying, I accept his offer. It's like the judge saying to the man, you want to serve the prison sentence in your friend's place. I accept your offer. You go to prison, your friend goes free. The Father says on the day of resurrection, I accept Jesus' death on behalf of sinners. Their penalty has been paid, and so they can go free. There is a place called heaven, and the only way to get there is Jesus Christ. Because there is no one else who has done this. No other religious leader has ever said, I will pay the penalty for others. Nobody's ever said that. No religious leader has ever said, I will do what is required so that people can enter heaven. Nobody's ever said that. All they've done is taught moral lessons. Do this and do that. But doing good will never earn us a place into heaven. We are sinners. We are wrong in the sight of God. You might think if I live a decent life, a moral life, if I'm religious, I do my very best, then God will give me heaven as a reward. You cannot earn heaven. It cannot be done. Only through the death of Jesus Christ can we enter heaven. And so we must trust Him. And we must put our faith in Him. And we must ask Him to save us. We must turn to Him and we must say to Him, I'm a sinner. I'm wrong in the sight of God. I'm not headed for heaven. Will you save me from my sin? Will you bring me forgiveness? Will you make me right with God? Will you give me a place in heaven? So why did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, He rose from the dead to prove that there is life after death. He rose from the dead to prove that there's a place called heaven. He rose from the dead to prove that He is the only one who can take us to heaven. And then fourthly and finally, He rose from the dead to show that He is our priest, our helper, our guide throughout our lives here on earth. Today the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is in heaven today, but He is at work. And He has His eyes constantly upon His people here on earth. He's not distracted in any way. He's not looking anywhere else. It's not as if there's some other things that have taken up His attention. And so His people here on earth, those who have trusted in Him, they're just getting on in their own lives without His attention. No, His attention is fully taken up with them. He loves His people. He died for His people. And He wants to watch over them. So He's like the shepherd who is constantly watching over His people. And every difficulty that they go through, He is there for them. Every issue that they face, He is there for them. Every anxiety that they face, He is for them. He is there for them. Every kind of difficulty, trouble, illness, whatever it is, Christ is with us. This is why we sing these resurrection hymns. This is why on this Sunday our hearts are filled with joy, because we know there's a risen Savior. We know that our Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is our Savior. He cares for us. He loves us and He cares for us. We know that we're not here alone here on earth. We know that we are not without help. We know that we're not left abandoned. We know that He is with us and He helps. Do you know all Christians have this testimony? That there was a time when I was in enormous difficulty, enormous trial. And I asked my friends to pray, and I prayed, and we say to the Lord Jesus, will you help us? Now this is not some fantasy. This is not some imagination. These things really happen. The Lord Jesus helps His people. He comes to their aid. At the time when they need strengthening, He gives them strength. At the time when they need support, He gives them support. At the time when they need any kind of help, He will help them. Because He is their Lord and their Savior. And He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so Christians today rejoice in the fact that Christ rose from the dead. So why did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, four reasons. To show there is life after death. To show there is a place called heaven. To show that He is the only way to get us there. We must trust in Him. And to show that He is our help and our guide throughout our lives here on earth. Amen.